This is session number 14 of the Gospel according to John. Last time we began looking at the early ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ begins to gather disciples. Without true disciples, once Jesus Christ leaves the earth, then the ministry of the gospel will end with him. This is something that's so important, it's so vital for all people in the ministry to understand that part of our ministry is not just to do what we've been called to do as preachers, as teachers, but it's also so important that we reproduce after our kind, that disciples of Jesus Christ are made, who then can carry this gospel and the ministry forward even after we're gone. Jesus Christ understood that. That's why this is the very first thing we see in the gospel according to John, because at the end of John, Jesus is going to be leaving, and he's still going to expect his people to follow him till the end. And that's what true disciples of Jesus Christ are all about. They're all about following Jesus Christ to the end, no matter what the cost. And so here we saw Andrew and John, who were disciples of John the Baptist, left John the Baptist to follow Jesus when John the Baptist pointed them to Christ and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." There he is, and they left. We saw how Jesus talked to them. Then Andrew ran and got his brother, Simon, who will become known as Peter, and he brings him to Jesus, and he says, "We found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas." Now again, we just want to pay very careful attention to what Jesus says, what Jesus calls people to, what Jesus is doing, because this is so important. And we saw with the first group of people, he asked them, "What seek ye? What are you looking for? What are you seeking?" And when they said, "Where dwellest thou? Where are you staying? We want to be with you." That's basically what they're saying. He calls them to action. He says, "Come and see." Here they bring Simon to him, under the understanding that we found the Messiah, let's go. And so they bring Simon, and notice Jesus. I love this. Jesus looks at Simon. It says, and when Jesus beheld him, he looks at him. He looks at him, and he knows him. And what Jesus deals with is he deals with his identity. We need more men of God in the ministry that are going to look at young men and really know who they are and deal with their identity, not just give them jobs to do, not just give them ministerial skills, but are going to look at people, love them, and deal with identity. That's exactly what Jesus Christ is doing. Despite all Simon's issues and problems, Jesus looks at this man and he loves him. Now, I know it doesn't say he loves him, but we know through the rest of the gospel stories that Jesus loves him. And he deals with his identity. He says, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah." See, he knows who Peter is naturally on his own. He knows who Peter is naturally according to the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. He says, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah." And yet, that doesn't mean he hates him. That doesn't mean he despises him. He knows who he is, but the thing is that Jesus and God the Father, they have this amazing ability, and we need to get this ability because this is a godly attribute, of not only just seeing who somebody is currently and what they are naturally, but seeing through that to see what they can become in Christ. And Jesus sees what Simon can be in Christ. And he says, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas." which is by interpretation a stone. Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. And here Jesus both prophesies and promises the hope of a new identity, a greater identity, becoming a new man in him. Cephas means a stone. And this isn't just a little stone. Now, we obviously have to clarify, because there are people saying that Peter is the foundation rock of the church. We know that's not true. Peter himself preached against that in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, he makes it very clear in verse 6 who the chief cornerstone is. He makes it very clear in verse 7 who the head cornerstone is and who the stone of stumbling is in verse 8. That chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. That's clear throughout the scriptures from beginning to end. He is the absolute foundation of the church. Paul said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. So there's no doubt Simon is not the chief cornerstone, but he's not talking about a little tiny stone, because Simon is going to be one of the foundational stones of Jesus' church. He's going to be one of the foundational stones. He's not the chief cornerstone, but he's one of the foundational stones. You look at Ephesians chapter 2, it says Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone in verse 20, but it says that all of us, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Simon is one of the foundational stones of the church of Jesus Christ. Actually, let me rephrase that. Cephas is one of the foundational stones of the church of Jesus Christ. Simon will become one of them. Simon, as a natural man by himself, is not. And we see in Revelation chapter 21 that the New Jerusalem has 12 foundations. And in those 12 foundations are the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. You better believe that those foundational stones of the New Jerusalem are not little stones. So when he says, thou shalt be called Cephas, he's not just saying, oh, you should be a little stone that people pick up and throw around. No, he's talking about a foundational stone of his church. That's an amazing calling and identity that Jesus Christ is giving Simon here. And he's prophesying this to him, and it's also a promise of the hope of being this new man. And let me tell you something. Jesus Christ looks at us for who we are in the natural, what we are in the natural, what we are in the physical. And he doesn't despise us, but he loves us and he sees through to what we can become in him. And that's why in Revelation chapter 2, he promises in verse 17 to the churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh. So that's the faith of Christ. We overcome by the faith of Christ. Will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. He wants to give us a white stone. That thing is pure. It's spotless. It's undefiled. And in that stone, a new name. That's our position and our identity in the church of Jesus Christ, in the kingdom of God. And I love it. The promise of the new man. Paul talks about it. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new in Jesus Christ. Amen. But just interesting how he says, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. And it's just funny because in the Old Testament, the prophet Jonah was probably the most rebellious, bad-spirited prophet that ever existed. You know, I mean, rebellious, self-willed, spiteful. I mean, really, probably the most worthless good prophet. I mean, he was a good prophet. He wasn't a false prophet like Balaam, but probably the most worthless. And yet God used him to preach arguably the greatest revival of all time, which just proves that you don't have to be friends with the world to win the world. You don't have to be nice. You don't have to be kind. That really, it's all about just doing what God tells you to do. And sometimes you could have the most rotten spirit ever, but you preach the truth that God tells you to preach, and He can do miracles with it. So just go home and chew on that when they tell you that to win the lost, you have to be like the lost, or be friendly, or be kind, or love them, or come alongside them. Jonah didn't do any of those things. He just went in there and said, 40 days, you guys are going to be judged. There's no hope for you guys. And the entire city repented, including the king, everyone down. But anyways, he says, you're Simon, the son of Jonah. Now, I know literally Simon Peter, his father's name was Jonah. But it's just interesting, Simon, the son of Jonah. He is almost like a spiritual son of Jonah, kind of self-willed and kind of just sticks his foot in his mouth. But thou shalt be called Cephas, amen? Thou shalt be called Cephas. There's hope even for the Jonas of Jesus Christ. But, you know, here's something that's interesting. Just want you to consider this. When God made Adam, He didn't make him corrupt and evil. And yet Adam wasn't spiritual in the new covenant sense. Because it says, first that which was natural, afterward that which was spiritual. Okay? So Adam was made of the earth, earthy. That's the natural realm. He was made a living soul. He wasn't made a quickening spirit. Now I know he was given a spirit by God, but he wasn't at the level of the resurrected Jesus Christ. He wasn't a quickening eternal spirit. He was made natural. He was made carnal. He was made fleshy of the earth. And yet that identity that God made was a good thing. It wasn't evil. It was good. It wasn't corrupted. And what's interesting is the name Simon, I know we look at Simon and he was a mess and he needed Christ, of course, it's true of all of us, but it's interesting, the name Simon means to listen or he has heard, to listen or he has heard. And it's just interesting that although Jesus is promising him a new identity, a better identity, a heavenly identity, amen, because that's what we have in Jesus Christ. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. That's why we need a new birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And I know corruption has entered into the world, and we all have experienced corruption, and sin is in the world, and death is passed upon all men. And yet, there's still some good things about the natural realm that God made. It's not all good for nothing. If it was all good for nothing, then we couldn't even be saved, because how could he work salvation if it was all completely shot? Now, we need salvation, no doubt, but I'm just trying to get you to understand something. He says, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas. I want you to understand, when you go to Matthew chapter 16, remember the name Simon means listen, or he has heard. In Matthew 16, when Jesus Christ asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Some say, oh, you're one of the prophets, Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist. He says, but whom do ye say that I am? And it says that Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And watch what Jesus does in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Jesus confers a blessing on the natural man, Simon. Interesting. He doesn't say, blessed art thou, Peter, the new man, the new identity in Christ. He says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Bar means son of. Blessed art thou, son of Jonah. You know why? For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You know why? Because Simon means listen. It means he has heard. And this is just an interesting thought that I want you to consider and meditate on and ponder, that God actually had to use the Simon in Simon to bring him to the point where he could become Peter or Cephas. I'm going to say that again. God had to use the Simon in Simon to bring him to the point where he could become Cephas or Peter. See, Simon means listen, he has heard. Now, what was the problem with Simon? One of his problems, people would argue, is he talked too much. He put his foot in his mouth. He wasn't listening. And maybe that was something he struggled with. And maybe he always wanted to be something he wasn't. He was trying to be something that he wasn't. And that's the big mistake we all fall into. But Jesus wants to first remind Simon who he is. Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Thou shalt be called Cephas. But he gives the promise and the prophecy that one day you'll be something greater than you could ever be on your own. You see that? I think one of the things that the devil loves to do is he loves to just confuse our identities. And some people spend their whole lives wishing they were something that they weren't, and they never accept what they are naturally. And I believe that until you accept what you are naturally, and what I mean by accept what you are naturally, I'm not talking about accept your sinfulness, accept the wickedness of you. It's not what I'm talking about. You're supposed to repent of those things, because that's not supposed to be what you are. I'm talking about what you are naturally in the natural creation, the part that's untainted and undefiled. I'm talking about the living soul that God made when you were conceived. To start to understand what you are in the natural, and that actually through what you are in the natural, God is going to bring you to the point of knowing him and being converted into Christ and becoming something greater in Christ and something new. But it starts with that understanding. Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. He's reminding him who he is. He's identifying who he is. Simon, don't forget, your name means listen. Don't talk so much, listen. You know why Simon Peter got this thing right in Matthew 16? He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know why? Because Simon started listening. He started listening and he started thinking and listening and asking and praying and thinking and listening and asking and praying. And the Father revealed to him in the inner man by his Spirit, by God's Spirit, the Father revealed to Simon, that man you're with, that's the Christ. That's the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at him and he doesn't say, oh, Simon, you good for nothing, wicked sinner. Cursed Simon. No, he says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because you listened. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he goes on and he says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock, see, at that point, Simon was converted to Peter. And he says, thou art Peter. You finally became the new man in me. Thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. Not talking about Peter as the rock, talking about the understanding of what Simon came to believe and receive so that within him, a Peter could be birthed. Something that could be a foundational stone of the church of Jesus Christ, which is something that Simon Barjona could never be on his own. Some of you just think about what I'm saying, ponder it a little bit. But I never really liked my name very much, Adam, because Adam has such a bad rap. Everybody hates Adam. Adam ruined it for everyone. And it just was never anything I really liked that much. But the Lord showed me that Jesus Christ is called the last Adam in 1 Corinthians 15. And so then all of a sudden I started thinking, I said, well, it can't be that bad of a name, eh? And then I had to think that, you know what, before Adam sinned and before he messed up and just followed his wife and transgressed God's law, I said, you know what, Adam was actually the direct creation of God. This was God's handiwork. This was the first man, and he was made in the image of God and given dominion over the whole earth. You know what? This name can't be that bad. And I tried to begin to understand who I was and accept who I was, not in the sense of accepting sin and accepting iniquity. No, you repent of those things. Whenever you come across things in the scriptures and you realize you've been doing it wrong or you've been believing it wrong, no matter what the culture is or what your past is, and you just say, no, Lord, I don't want this. Please forgive me. But beginning to understand and be the pure version of Adam. See, thou art Simon. See, he's saying, listen, don't be a defiled version of Simon. Be a pure version of Simon. God can purify you. And that through being the pure version of you, you can become something new in Jesus Christ that is beyond anything you could ever hope to be on your own. So I just wanted to give you those thoughts from John chapter 1, where Andrew brings Simon, his brother, to Jesus, and Jesus beheld him and said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. And he looks at us, even with our faults, even with our shortcomings, even in the flesh, but he looks at us with charity, because charity thinketh no evil. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. He's not trying to find our iniquities and dig them up and rejoice in them and point them in our face. No, charity, man, suffereth long. Charity rejoiceth in the truth. Charity has a hope that endures all things. And Jesus Christ looks at him and he just loves him. And he says, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. You are. You are Simon, the son of Jonah. He is kind of like a spiritual son of Jonah. He says, but thou shalt be called Cephas. He gives us the promise and the prophecy of what we will be in him. Amen? Sometimes I wonder, what's my new name, Lord? My first name's Adam, you know? A. Sometimes I wonder if my new name's going to be something with a Z. If I'm going to go from A to Z. You know, maybe it'll be like Zerubbabel or something. Maybe I'll lay the foundation of the temple of the Lord. You know, I'd love to be like a Zerubbabel. I don't know. But I'm Adam. But it's okay. Because there's a last Adam who's a quickening spirit. And he can make us something new in him. Something greater that we could ever be on our own. This is our Lord. He's not dealing with just get to work, do this, do that. This is what we got to do. No, he's dealing with real people. He's testing their hearts, seeing what they desire, calling them to action, and he's looking at them, loving them, and dealing with their identity. It's huge. So important. Lord, bless us. Help us to be a pure version of what we are naturally so that we can become the new man that we need to be and that we are called to be and that we are promised to be in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.